looking at her so exposed.
What the hell?
She looks at Harden, then at the other man.
Cliff?
Her eyes harden suspiciously.
What the hell are you doing here?
You know him? I look between the two of them.
She knows him?
Harden asks me, knowing that I have no idea what the hell is going on. Nora's eyes dart to me, but she doesn't respond.
I was looking for my friend's place. He just moved into the building,
this Cliff says. Nora stares at him for a few seconds, and I watch them exchange communication without any words.
Who the hell is this guy? He's leaving. It's fine,
Nora says at last, pointing toward the door. She's so calm and casual about all of this. So calm it's disconcerting. Cliff rubs his neck and stands in the doorway. He doesn't say another word before disappearing into the hallway. Harden turns to Nora and raises his hands.
You just let him leave? You didn't find out why the fuck he was here in the first place.
Nora walks farther into the living room, her eyes on Harden.
Yes, I did. You heard his reason for being here.
She rests her hands on her hips, and I consider walking up and pulling the hem of the briefs she's wearing down a little, just to cover a little more of her luscious body. We just had a scene from a Fast and Furious movie go down in the living room, and I can only focus on the curve of Nora's thighs.
I need help.
He was lying,
Harden shouts. Nora moves closer to him.
First off, don't yell at me again, she says through her teeth, challenging him. And second, you don't know that he was lying. You don't know him.
Harden tilts his head back.
Oh, that's right. You do. How about you explain that, little Jim?
Guys, I walk between them. Harden, he's gone. Nora, go to my room. I feel like a dad with two temper-fueled children. Nora turns around and opens her mouth. Before she speaks, she closes it and turns to walk past me and down the hallway. I expected a fight from at least one of them.
You better make her tell you who the fuck he is,
Harden demands. And here we go. Shut up and get the broom. I point to the closet next to the entrance to the kitchen. I'll figure it out. You just clean that glass up. Harden glares at me.
I mean it. This isn't just about you. Tessa lives here. And if anything happens to her...
The oven beeps from the kitchen, and I remember Nora's cupcakes. I had completely forgotten about them. Has it only been 20 minutes since we went into my room? Heading into the kitchen, I grab an oven mitt and pull the pan from the oven. The tiny cakes smell delicious and are perfectly browned at the top. My mouth waters, and I rest them on the top of the stove and go back into the living room with Harden. So many questions are running through my mind. Is the intruder Nora's last boyfriend, whom she refuses to talk about? Is he just some regular thief, the one who broke into my apartment before? What would he have done if no one was home, or if Harden hadn't shown up when he did? I need to get the mess the brawl made cleaned up so I can get back to my room and talk to Nora. Harden's sweeping without complaint, and I grab one side of my late grandma's table and turn it upright. I'm going to have to fix this before my mom comes to visit again. She would be heartbroken if she saw it like this.
I know,
I reply to Harden's silent reproach. I'm going to find out who he is and whether Nora really believes that he was just looking for his friend. Harden gripes at me while sweeping the rest of the broken glass into the dustpan. Just before I open my bedroom door, his voice trails down my hallway.
Don't tell Tessa about this. There's enough going on.
I let him assume my silence means that I'm agreeing with him and step into my bedroom. Nora is sitting on my bed, still wearing my clothes. I push my back against the door and wait for it to click shut. To be safe, I lock the door behind me and stride toward her. Her phone is in her hand, and when she looks at me, her eyes stare into mine, but they don't connect. She's withdrawn already. I keep my voice timid.
You know we have to talk about who that guy is.
Nora looks down and shifts, pulling her legs beneath her body.
Do we?
I'm not letting her shoot this down.
Yes, we do.
I walk over to the bed, sit down next to her,
and listen for sounds from the living room. It's quiet. Harden either left or is being nosy, listening to our conversation from the hall, just like this Cliff guy.
Is he your ex-boyfriend?
Her body jerks at my question, and she shakes her head.
No. No, he's not.
I scoot closer to her and take her hands in mine.
Then who is he?
This isn't a small thing, Nora.
I gently squeeze her hands.
The guy was listening at my door.
Do you know him well enough to believe that this is all a big misunderstanding? Truly?
I look into her eyes and wordlessly beg her for the truth. I would like to believe that the last hour we've spent together has taken us to a new level of trust. I need her to trust me enough to be honest with me about this. The voice in my head is shouting doubt at her, but my mouth stays silent.
Yes, is all she says.
I scratch my hand over the stubble on my chin, and she stands up from my bed.
Where are you going?
She reaches the door before she responds.
I'm going to go grab my work clothes and come back. I have to work early in the morning.
I move off my bed, but I stay across the room from her.
I'll come with you.
Nora shakes her head.
I'll come back, I promise. I'll be back, and I'll stay the night with you, in your bed.
Her voice is shaky, uncertain. She walks back to me and reaches for my hands. I pull her into me.
I will come back.
Nora presses her lips to mine. I kiss her back, wrapping my arms around her as she melts into me. I stay quiet, and her tongue feels so good on mine. I love the way she kisses me, slowly and thoroughly, full of cautious passion. Her fingers bury themselves in the fabric of my t-shirt. After a few seconds, she pulls away from my embrace.
I'll be back in a little while.
She kisses my cheek.
I'll hurry.
Her words sound so certain. I feel as if I'm in a trance. I nod and drop my arms to my side.
Your clothes are in the kitchen, I remind her.
Heat fills my cheeks, and she pulls her bottom lip between her teeth.
I'll change in the bathroom,
Nora eyes me.
You don't like these on me?
A gleam of mischief is sparkling in her eyes.
I like them a little too much.
I'll come back to you, she promises. Though it sounds awfully ominous. When she walks out of my room, I lie back on my bed and close my eyes.
What the hell did I get myself into with this woman?
Chapter 15. Nora. The sidewalk is hard under my feet, and each step on the pavement brings another memory of Landon. The crinkle by his eyes when he smiles that sweet, shy smile, the way his hands feel on me. I've made such a mess. Why do I always make a mess everywhere I go? The last few weeks have made me feel things I'd forgotten how to feel. I've felt happy. It sounds simple to feel happy, but it's an accomplishment for someone like me. Living my life for other people, living in a prison of worry and deference made me forget how it feels to be simply happy. Hey! A woman's voice shouts behind me. The familiarity of the voice creeps through me and my scalp prickles. I turn around to see Dakota near the window of an art supply store. Her curly hair is pulled back from her face, and she's dressed like she's going to a funeral. Her black skirt hits just above her knees, and her navy blazer is too big on her small frame. It's odd to see her in these clothes when I'm used to seeing her in gym or ballet clothes. I don't have time to deal with her. Not today. I don't have the energy to waste on her. I'm on my way somewhere, I say as she approaches me. I look up to Landon's building to be sure he didn't follow me. The idiotic part of my heart wanted him to, even though it wouldn't have ended well if he did. So am I. We need to talk. I shake my head and push past her. We definitely don't need to do that. We have nothing to talk about, Dakota. You know that's not true. A hint of a threat is in her tone. I whirl around to face her. I raise my hands in the air in frustration. What? What do you want to talk about? You just came from Landon's apartment. I thought we had an agreement. I roll my eyes and drop my head back. She can't be serious. I'm too old to play this game with an immature brat who wants to dominate a toy she's already thrown away. Are you kidding me? We are fucking grown, Dakota. I'm 25 years old. I'm too old to play these games with you. Landon is old enough to make his own choices in life and love. The last word tastes weird in my mouth. I should have just walked away from her when I saw her, yet I couldn't. Love? She chokes out. Love? You think that Landon loves you? I shake my head. No, I don't think that. I know he doesn't love me. We won't get that far before everything explodes in my face. Good, because he doesn't. You can't come into his life and weasel your way in. He's too good for you. Dakota pushes her hand out and rests it on her hip. I step toward her, keeping my face neutral. I don't care. If she thinks I don't care, maybe she will go away? Dakota's lips turn into a fake smile. She's tiny, but she scares me a little sometimes. Like the night she came back to the apartment with liquor on her breath and wild eyes. She kept asking for my phone to call her brother, saying she needed to see him. She never opened up enough to tell me how he died. But that night, I knew better than she did that he wouldn't be answering that call. She was out of it. Gone. She cried and cried in the kitchen, hiding under the table. She screamed at me when I tried to give her a glass of water and threw the glass across the kitchen. She didn't even flinch when it shattered against the wall. The next morning, I pulled her from the floor and Maggie helped me carry her into her bedroom. From that day on, I knew something inside her was broken. Dakota's eyes are feral on me. Good. Neither does he. He likes to fix things and people. Her eyes take me in. Try to swallow me whole. And he saw you. I get it. Now leave me alone. We don't have time for her to list all the ways I need saving. I begin to walk away from Dakota, but she grabs my arm and jerks me back. I take a deep breath, shake her off, and keep walking. My fingers itch to lash out at her, but I keep them at my side. She follows. Why did you do it? Can you at least tell me why you pretended to be my friend to get close to my boyfriend? That wasn't a part of it. I didn't. Yes, you did. Stop the lies, Nora. Does Landon know that you knew the whole time? I grit my teeth. Shut up. It's much more complicated than this. This is all too complicated to discuss on the sidewalk. Of course he doesn't know. I led him to believe Dakota didn't talk about her feelings for him or even mention him. He knows nothing about anything. I feel so close to him, even though he doesn't know anything. Dakota is still walking with me, but at least I'm almost to the subway station now. She won't follow me all the way to Scarsdale. She's not that bold. I think if he knew how calculated this whole thing was, he would run from you. He doesn't like liars or stalkers, and I'm assuming he has no idea what's in Scarsdale. Dakota's words cut little slashes into me, and the air burns them as we walk. I trusted you, Sophia. I thought we were friends. We let you live with us. I glare at her. I don't do well with threats. A little fact about me that Dakota will learn very, very quickly if she keeps talking to me the way she is. I posted an ad on a website and ended up living with you. You weren't doing me any favors. Dakota lifts her purse higher onto her shoulder. What am I doing arguing with her? Still. Yes. And when we met, I saw you hold that picture frame for a few seconds too long. You knew the entire time who he was. Dakota blinks, and her eyes focus on the building next to us. All those questions you asked about him, about our relationship. I was nice to you, Sophia. So was Maggie. Maggie, who would spend 2 hours putting on her makeup in our small bathroom, but pleasantly talked to me all the while, was the nicer of the two. Still, from the day I arrived at the apartment, I felt the division between the three of us. Me versus them. What is it that you want, Dakota? I finally ask. I take the steps down to the subway slowly, and she's right behind me. It briefly crosses my mind that she could push me down the stairs. I want to know what's happening with you and Landon, and I want to ask you, well, beg you, to leave him be. He's the only thing I have. Her words float around me, envelop me from behind. I wish Brooklyn subways were more crowded so I could slip into the crowd and disappear. I wait until we reach the bottom of the stairs before I respond. Dakota wants me to stay away from Landon, something I can't do. Even when I tried, I couldn't. She doesn't stop talking. Don't you have enough? Your rich family, your big houses all over the country, the money you get every month from... Look, Dakota. She has no idea what she's saying. My family's being wealthy has nothing to do with my wanting Landon. That she sees the two as parallel says a lot about how she sees him. I can't tell if she views him as an object or equivalent to riches. I don't know what to tell you. You broke up with Landon months ago, and you've been seeing... Dakota shakes her head vigorously at this. I was confused. I see that now. I needed attention, and Landon wasn't here. I felt lonely, and Maggie said I should be single my first year of college. Everyone always says that. All those stupid movies say it, too. I never understood this idea of being single during college. Yes, it's important to be independent, and college is when you figure out who you are and what you want. But if you already have an amazing man, why would you ruin that just to party and hook up with random guys? So you want me to stay away from Landon so you can get back with him? I ask finally. If he will take me back, yes. He was mine from the beginning, since before he even knew you, before you saw that picture of him. I met him before that. My parents know his. Remember? Dakota is good at making me feel crazier than I am. She nods slowly. Yes, I remember. But I also remember the hours we spent talking about him. The many, many times I told you how much I love him and miss him. And I also remember about that time you told me to sleep with Aiden. I was trying to help you as a friend. You kept saying you wanted to experience life in the big city. I try to keep my voice down, but I'm doing a horrible job at it. You told me how hot Aiden was, that you wanted to sleep with him. I narrow my eyes at her. You already had your mind made up. I was just giving you that extra push to make you feel like less of an asshole when you fucked him. Dakota's nostrils flare, and for a very, very short moment, I'm almost afraid of her. Are you kidding? I had my mind made up? And who the hell are you to judge me anyway, Mrs.? She says, exaggerating the last word. My entire body is covered in small slashes now. With every word, I feel more and more like a monster. Dakota may as well be pouring salt water into the cuts. Hearing her say she loves Landon is the equivalent of that to me, and her blaming all of this on me, possibly rightfully so, makes it much, much worse. Can you stop walking and just talk to me, please? Her voice is soft, sad even. I face her. What will make you happy? If I stay 100 feet away from him at all times? Tessa is my friend, too, and he lives with her. And Landon is happy with me. Dakota, let him be happy. Her lip quivers and she swallows. How do you know he's happy? What a loaded question. Because I can feel it, I want to tell her, but I won't. How do you know he's happy, Nora? So now it's back to Nora. Tears prick my eyes. I just know he is. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know him like you do. Her eyes stay on mine. No. No, you don't. I sigh and look around the station. A man and a woman are holding hands while they wait for the train. They have to be at least 60. And when he leans down and kisses the top of her gray hair, my heart feels heavy. How is it possible for my heart to feel so heavy when it's so empty? Dakota stops and frowns. I don't have anyone, Nora. I thought I had you, but a friend wouldn't do what you did. She's right. I was never a friend to her. I never wanted to be. I only wanted him. I should feel guilty, but it's hard to do so when I know how she treats him. Like a lapdog. He's not a fucking lapdog. He's so much more than that. More than either of us deserve. I'm sorry for how things went down, I tell her, half meaning it. I didn't mean to hurt you. Things just happened this way. Dakota regards me, and I see a tear roll down her cheek before she can wipe it away. I know it will kill her that I saw her vulnerability, so I choose to show her kindness and ignore it. Landon and I have something real, Nora. We've loved each other since we were kids. He's been there for me through everything. Through my dad's abuse, my brother's death. We've suffered together in ways you would never understand. He's my person, Nora. He's my person, my only person. And I know I haven't treated him the way he deserves, but I was being stupid, and now I see that. Now I know that I have to do everything I can to make sure he knows how much I love him and appreciate him. Her words make me shudder. I am going to throw up. I can feel it coming. Acid burns the base of my throat. I can't listen to her talk about him like this. I physically can't handle listening to her say his name or explain the depth of their connection. I stay silent, unable to offer her any words. She starts talking again, and I wish I could press a button and turn my ears off. To you, he's a piece of a game. You're just having fun with him, and he's just having fun with you. Fun. That's it, she says matter-of-factly. But to me, he's my other half. He's the one person I can count on in this world. I have years and years with him, and even though you may think you can't compete with that. She pauses. I don't want to hurt you. For some reason, I believe her. That doesn't make it hurt any less. I've lost my mom and my brother, and my dad is going to die any day now. I can't lose Landon, too. Her voice breaks into full sobs, and she covers her face with her hands. Strangers stare at us as they pass. When did I become such a shitty person? Please, Nora, give me another chance to be who he needs me to be. She wipes her hand across her nose and looks back up at me. Her shoulders are shaking with sobs, and I can't help but feel for her. Who am I to come into their life and tear them apart? She may be awful, but there's a soft part of her that always drew me to her. I don't hate her. I never have. I just knew she didn't deserve Landon. But now that she's in front of me, sobbing into her shaking hands, who am I to decide that? She's right. I don't know him. She does. I don't love him. She does. I don't deserve him. And maybe she does. Fine. I pull her hands away from her face. She wipes her eyes again and looks at me. I don't know what else to say to her. I'll go away, I promise, and walk away, blending into a pool of strangers before she can stop me.
Chapter 16. Landon. It's been 2 hours since Nora left my apartment to get her work clothes. Well, her excuse was that she needed her work clothes. But I'm not completely ignorant of the coincidental timing. A stranger shows up in my apartment, and Nora just happens to know his name? And then she needs to leave for a bit? When she could easily just wake up earlier tomorrow and get her clothes then? What a day I've had. Nora showed me a side of her I hadn't seen. Not only is she mind-blowingly sexy, she managed to turn off all the noise in my head with the sound of her voice. I felt comfortable, and as stupid as it sounds, I felt confident in my inexperience with her guiding me, telling me I can be who I want to be when I'm with her. The thought of being able to spin a completely new version of myself is strange. With her, I can be more than the nice guy. I can be more than someone's best friend. I don't have to solve everyone else's problems and neglect my own when I'm with her. My head is throbbing, and my living room is finally put back together. Hardin argued with me for a little bit before he disappeared and came back 20 minutes later with an extra chain lock to put on the door. Luckily for him, he caught Ellen just as she was leaving, and she was nice enough to reopen for a moment to let him buy a lock. I don't think he would have slept tonight without one. And given that he is Hardin, I could even see him breaking into the store downstairs to get one himself. I think of what he said about Tessa, and how nervous she was after our break-in, and go to the closet to grab my small toolbox and install the lock. Ken gave me this toolbox when I decided to move to New York. It's nothing too special, but it meant something to him. So it means something to me. I could see it in his eyes when he handed me the small red box, and I noted the way his voice changed when he explained the function of each tool inside. I didn't let on that he was telling me things I already knew. I didn't tell him that I'd been fixing things my whole life, that I'm an expert. Instead, I let him explain each thing to me in great detail. I even asked questions like, "What's the difference between a Phillips head and a flathead screwdriver?" I had a feeling he needed these simple moments with his stepson to make up for lost times with his actual son. When the lock is on and sturdy, I sit down on the couch and turn on the TV. What can I watch to distract me from staring at the clock? I turn on Netflix and scroll. And scroll. And then, scroll. Nothing sounds distracting enough to keep my mind off Nora. While I read the titles of the movies recommended for my account, I curse the irony. Julie and Julia and Chocolat are the top two. Cooking-related movies, of course. The selections make me think of Nora in her work uniform, and then, out of it. It's possible that the movies are recommended because of her and Tessa's history, but I decide that it's some sign from somewhere. I keep scrolling. Nora should star in her own movie about a beautiful, intelligent, and mysterious woman. A woman who also happens to bake edible heaven. If our lives were a movie, it would be easier to uncover her secrets. I think about the movies I used to watch with my mom on the Lifetime channel. As much as I hate to admit it, some of those movies were pretty dang good. They always had insane plots, like psycho babysitters who try to steal husbands, or husbands who turn out to be con artists, sometimes even murderers. If Nora was the star of a Lifetime movie, she could be a spy or even an assassin. In my head, I piece together what I know. With her shady trips to Scarsdale, she could be either. From what Google knows about Scarsdale, it's a pretty wealthy area with an older population. Her family lives in Washington, so it has to be someone else. My phone buzzes across the table and I grab it, reading the name on the screen. Dakota. Why is she calling me? And more important, why don't I want to answer it? Guilt washes over me. I shouldn't be avoiding her. She doesn't deserve that. But I can't keep balancing on this rope between them. Eventually, I'll slip. Nora's voice saying, "I'll come back to you," plays and plays in my head. I think about the way her eyes flash with mischief when she challenges me, and the way my name sounds when it comes out of her mouth. I lay my phone on my chest and let the call go to voicemail, and continue to make up plot lines for Nora's Lifetime movie. The night I followed her, she changed her clothes before she got off the train. We can refer to that night as the Scarsdale night. She changed her shirt and took her hair down from its braid. She even ran her fingers through the messy strands and they bounced on her shoulders. She shook her head and I remember thinking she should star in a shampoo commercial. But enough about her bouncy things. I need to focus on my conspiracy theory surrounding this girl. I raise my hand and hold it up over my face and make a fist. I lift one finger for random subway rides an hour away. What else? She's had shady phone calls come in while with me and then left my apartment. I raise another finger. As for disappearing, she's done that more than once, and I would have to be an idiot to ignore the warning signs as I raise another finger. If I get to 5, I need to enter witness protection and escape her. Speaking of witness protection, Is she in it? She does have two names. Was her ex-boyfriend in the mob or something? Does she have a boyfriend now, and if so, is he in the mob? I'm not sure why my brain goes straight to everyone's being in the mob. I've definitely watched too many movies. I did watch The Godfather when I was a teenager. More than once. It's amusing to think about, but I'm not one of those people who blame their inability to function in society on a movie they watched at some pivotal age. Tessa made me watch this movie the other night that had a scene where a woman was sitting with her mom, telling her that she failed her by letting her watch Cinderella as a child. That's what happened to me. I watched The Godfather and soapy Lifetime movies with my mom, and now I'm convincing myself that my girlfriend is an assassin or an ex-mob member. Maybe Nora has a secret child. She is older than me, and she does have that soothing voice. I could totally see her as a mom. Maybe she's hiding something bigger, like that she actually does like Gatorade after all. I would rather find out she's an assassin than discover she's been falsely throwing shade at my favorite drink. I'm getting way too creative here. I need something to do. Pronto. I lay the remote down on the coffee table and sit up. Should I call her? She promised she would come back to me. Will she? She was looking straight at me. Am I a fool to think that I could tell if she was lying? Can I trust her to actually keep a promise? I promise to not say things I'll want to erase, she told me. We made a deal. It was set in stone from that second on, and I fully expect her to keep her side of the agreement. If she comes back today, I'll make a promise to myself to trust her. If she keeps her promise, I'll keep mine. I'll make sure I give her time to open up to me. Her petals deserve to have time to bloom. I busy myself by walking into the kitchen and opening the fridge. I should have checked in on Tessa today to see how she's doing. She seemed fine the last time I saw her. Harden did too, aside from choking that dude in my living room. My eyes scan the kitchen, remembering the taste of Nora on my tongue. The sweetness of her fills my senses again, and I grab a cupcake from the pan while I daydream. The way her fingers dug into the countertop when I lapped my tongue over her wetness will forever be etched into my mind. The noises she made when she came set off an animalistic need in me. All I could think about then, and even now, is her. She's quickly becoming an obsession of mine, and I don't think I could stop now if I wanted to. Nora's clothes were all around my kitchen only hours ago. 2 hours and 15 minutes ago, to be exact. She must have grabbed them and changed on her way out. My clothes did look so, so good on her. Too good on her. Everything she wears looks too good on her. She has one of those bodies that make oversized t-shirts and jean shorts look sexier than lingerie. When I take a bite of the cupcake, my stomach growls, annoyed at how long it's been since I ate. The only thing that's been on my mind is Nora, Nora, Nora. How can I find out more about her? I bite off another piece of the onion cupcake and walk to my room to get my laptop. When I get back to the couch, I have another missed call from Dakota. I flip my phone over so the notification doesn't distract me, and open my laptop. I'm not even sure what I'm looking for. But my first instinct is to go to Facebook. Facebook is definitely the home base of internet sleuthing. I click on the search box and type in her name. Nora? Wait. What's her last name? Oh, man. I don't even know her last name. I run my hand over my hair and grab my phone. I tap on my mom's name and put the phone on speaker. She answers on the third ring. I was just talking about you. I can hear her smile through her words. I laugh. Good things, I hope. Of course. We're here at drinks. Well, I'm not drinking, of course, at South Fork. And we ran into Sophia's parents. We were literally just talking about you. How strange. Her voice is soft, and I try to keep my voice the same, despite the nervousness creeping up my spine. I peer at my laptop and look around the room. Her parents are there. Right now, with mine. What are the chances? Another sign. To tell them I said hi? I stammer. Maybe something will come up related to their last name, since I can't exactly ask my mom while I know she's with them. Landon says hi, my mom says, and I hear muffled voices in the background. A few seconds pass. They told me Sophia moved back to Scarsdale. I didn't know that, honey. I get the feeling that this is something my mom expected me to mention to her. If it were true, I would have. Why do Nora's parents think she moved? And what did they mean by back to Scarsdale? If I hear Scarsdale one more time, I may lose my mind. Maybe I can get some information from her parents. It would help me solve the mystery of her. How long ago did she live there again? I ask my mom, and I hear her ask them. Just recently, a few months before you moved to Brooklyn, she says. They say they send their best wishes to you, and they hope you're enjoying your new city. They're used to their babies being out of the house. Then she teases. I'm not. Tell the... I pause, hoping my mom will fill in the blank. I'll tell the Rahals you said thank you, and I'll call you back later today. Is that all right? Jackpot. I type Nora Rahal into the search bar, and a few pages pop up, none of them her. Landon? Yeah, sure, thanks, Mom. Love you guys. I hang up and toss the phone onto the couch next to me. I type Nora's sister's name and hope I can spell it correctly. Stassi Rahal doesn't appear, but a profile under the name Stassi Tahan does. When I click on the profile, Stassi's face appears. I know instantly that it's her. I can tell by her features. Dark green-brown eyes and high cheekbones. She's slightly thinner than Nora. Her face is more narrow, and her lips aren't as full. I scroll through her profile and quickly discover from the photos and comments that her husband, Amin Tahan, is a surgeon. He seems to have had quite the career. I scroll through picture after picture of Stassi and her husband holding huge plaques and diplomas with his name on them. And I work at a coffee shop. I should fit right in with this family. I manage to navigate through her photos and find an album named Bendol, dated 2 years ago, and click on the folder. At least 50 pictures load onto my screen. Nora's sister should update her privacy settings. Any crazy person could find out so much about her in just a few seconds, especially given the pictures she has here. The photo that catches my eye first is of Stassi in a tiny red bikini kissing her husband with his chiseled abs under the stars. I keep going to find pictures of Nora. A flash of a yellow bikini catches my attention, and I enlarge the picture. It's Nora, all right, wearing a strappy yellow bikini that barely contains the curve of her hips. A man is standing next to her. His black hair is thick and heavy on his head. She's laughing, and his arm is around her waist, holding her to him. I can see the possessive position of his shoulders, and I can sense his ego in the set of his strong jaw. I mean, seriously, the dude could cut a steak with that thing. I brush my hand over my own jawline. I could maybe cut through warm butter? I stare at the picture for so long that it hurts. Who is he? I scroll over the image, hoping either of them are tagged, but no luck. Nervously, I click to the next picture. Nora with her feet in the ocean, a notebook on her lap. She's wearing the yellow bikini again, but the man from the other picture isn't in this one. Her hair is braided into two strands, and she's even more tan here than she is now. God, she's beautiful. Someone knocks at my door, and I jump up. Nora, please be Nora. I wipe my palms on my sweats and open the door. A little surprisingly, it is Nora, dressed in black pants and a red shirt with a plunging neckline. Her lips are painted bright red, and her eyes are lined with dark makeup. Hey, she says. Her lips are so... I can't form a thought except that I feel immense relief to see her standing here in my doorway. Hey. I hold the door open for her and she walks past me, her shoulder brushing mine. When I join her inside and close the door, she grabs hold of my t-shirt and presses her lips against mine.
Chapter 17. Nora's lips on mine are more than welcomed.
if not exactly the first thing I thought she would do when I saw her in my doorway. But here she is, pushing my shoulders against the back of the door, her breath hot on my lips. Her hands are wild as her body presses against me and I attempt to catch my breath. I put my hands on her hips and her teeth gently pull at my lower lip. I lift one of my hands to cup her breast and my fingers brush over her hard nipple. She's not wearing a bra. When she pulls away, I reach for her. My back is tight against the door and she's stepping away from me. Red stains of lipstick practically illuminate her full lips, instinctively causing me to lick my own, to remember her taste. Nora starts, stops, searches for words. Her eyes circle the room and land back on me. Her mouth falls open, but she doesn't speak. I don't think I want to hear what she has to say. She's good at making excuses for why we shouldn't be doing what we're doing. And right now, I want to ignore what might be right or wrong, and just grab her by the waist and pull her to me. Her breasts are full, barely contained by the low cut of her shirt, which is the same bright red as her lipstick. What are you wearing? I'm mesmerized by the shirt. Nora cocks her head to the side and looks at me. She looks down at her outfit and back to me. Clothes? Thinking before I speak is definitely something that I should work on. To try to wash away that awkward moment, I reach for Nora's arm and pull her back to me. She doesn't stop me from pulling her into my arms and holding her. I missed you, when you were gone just now, I say through her lips on mine. She's so warm. Her body feels like summer nights in Michigan. Languid humidity and fireflies twinkling in the yard. I would catch the fireflies in a jar, but let them go soon after. Nora reminds me of a firefly, surprising and bright. Not to be kept in a jar. Never letting herself be kept in a jar. She makes a sound like a sigh, and her hand touches my stomach and travels down, lifting my t-shirt up. When her fingernails slide down my bare skin, the memory of the first time she touched me flares to life. Her fingers slid down my stomach then, too, and I should have just grabbed her by the ponytail and kissed her mouth. I should have tasted her lips and felt her body melt into mine the way that it is right now. But I didn't, and somehow, we still got here. Her hand continues lower, and she brushes over my arousal. She's completely hijacked my body, taking control in the most visceral way. Her tongue teases at mine, and I tug at the top of the fabric of her soft, silky shirt to expose her breasts. Nora grips my cock, and I feel the familiar aching pull in the bottom of my stomach. I groan for her, and she grips harder. The pressure almost hurts, but the pleasure overpowers the pain, and I reach down to unbutton my pants. Her hands assist, tugging them down my legs. Are we alone? She asks, her voice low. I can't help the small laugh that escapes my lips and look down at my pants around my ankles. You're asking this now? Through a bitten lip, she laughs with me and drops to her knees. Nora's hands are steady when she pulls my boxers down, and I'm envious of how comfortable she seems to be with her sexuality. Her hands don't shake when she undresses me. Her lips don't quiver when my tongue glides over them. For my part, I'm all nervous. Shaky hands and awkward moans, and I couldn't be sexy if I tried. Maybe if I pretend to be someone else for a minute, I could be sexy. I could be like those guys in romance novels who can make panties drop with the sound of their voice. Nora's hands are stroking me, and it's impossible to focus on being sexy when her hands feel so, so good. I look down at this beautiful, mysterious girl and try not to come as fast as I did last time. But she's making that very, very difficult with those red lips and hungry eyes. She places a wet kiss on the tip of me, and I groan and grab the doorframe to keep myself up. She kisses me again. You taste so good. That ache climbs up my stomach to my chest. Nora? Her name is dissolving cotton candy on my tongue. I moan again, not giving a crap about what does or doesn't sound sexy. Nora's lips part and she takes me inside her mouth. She's just so pretty with my cock inside her mouth. Her dark eyes are looking up at me and it's hard to think about anything but filling her mouth with my cum. I need to last longer. Please let me last longer than last time. Watching her taste me, I think about how heavenly she tastes, better than any maple square my mom ever made.
Okay, enough about my mom. But I do need to think about non-sexy things to last longer. When her warm tongue gently grazes over the tip of me, I force myself to think about school. I have an exam next week. Work. I have work tomorrow. When I look away from Nora, she pulls back and looks up at me. What's wrong? Huh? I blink at her. Nothing. Nora shifts her body and rests her hands on her thighs as she sets her eyes on mine. Liar. Then she adds gently, talk to me. I take a deep breath. What the heck am I supposed to say? Sorry, I'm just trying not to come in less than 5 seconds like last time. No freaking way in hell. I'm just thinking, I guess. She tilts her head to the side. Thinking about what? A hint of red touches her cheeks and, oh no, I don't want her to think I'm thinking something bad about this. Or even thinking about anything other than the moment we are sharing right now. Thinking? She repeats, dipping her head down slightly. She moves her body a fraction of an inch away from me, and I feel the distance like a big, gaping hole in my chest. I reach down and cup her cheek, forcing her to look up at me. Nothing bad, I promise. I'm just nervous. Honestly, that's what it is. I don't know why. I stop my rambling before I make a bigger fool of myself. Nervous? About what? I don't know. I brush my thumb over her cheek, and her eyes flutter closed. I'm trying to be cool and stuff, but last time I pause. Last time I was an idiot. Nora leans up and my hand falls from her cheek. An idiot? How? My face is hot with embarrassment. I came so fast and... Nora stands up before I can finish my sentence. Don't call yourself names in front of me again. Her voice is harsh, her eyes even more so. By calling yourself an idiot, you're contradicting my opinion of you and basically insinuating that I would be with an idiot. She looks around the room and back to me. I get the feeling that she's nowhere near finished. And you don't need to be embarrassed about that. I enjoyed it, and it's never a bad thing when someone is so turned on that they can't wait to come. Relief floods me, and my shoulders relax. It's not very sexy. She glares at me. You don't get to decide what I think is sexy. Her hand is on her hip now. I'm sorry. And stop saying sorry for things you didn't do, Landon. You did nothing wrong. You do that too much. I guess I do. When I think about it, I spend about half of my life saying sorry, even if I haven't done anything wrong. I fuss with the bottom of my shirt, trying to cover at least some of my body. If I didn't think you were sexy, I wouldn't be here, on my knees, in front of you. You don't have to be whatever version of sexy you think I want. You just have to be here, with me. Do you want to be here with me right now? I nod. I need words, Landon. Of course she does. Words aren't real until you say them. Yes. Yes, I do. More than anything. Okay. Nora lowers herself back to the floor. As sexy as she is in front of me, it seems wrong that she's kneeling before me. I should be kneeling before her. I grab her hand and pull her up. The confusion is clear in her eyes as she stands. Come to my bed. I want you in my bed. Is that so? She says with a wicked smile. Without thinking, I scoop her into my arms and move toward my room. My pants are at my ankles, so I pull one foot free, still making it difficult to walk, but I would rather spend a year in Azkaban than drop Nora or have to put her down. Nora buries her face in my neck, and I love the way she feels in my arms. When I reach the hallway, I kick my pants off the rest of the way, and she giggles against my neck. I try to open my bedroom door with one hand, and Nora catches on to my struggle and reaches out to open the door for me. As I walk through the threshold, I hear the sound of her foot smacking into wood. Ouch! Shit! Sorry! I take two quick steps forward and drop her onto the bed as she untangles her arms from around my neck. I think my foot is broken, she laughs, holding on to the red mark on the top of her foot. I don't even remember her taking her shoes off.
Then again, I'm not great at focusing on the details when she's around. See? This is why I'm nervous. I move up on the bed and sit down next to her. Nora extends both legs. When I look over at her, I'm distracted by that dang shirt again. Nora leans her head onto my shoulder. I missed you while I was gone, too, she says, finally responding to my words from a few minutes ago. I stay quiet for a moment before asking, Where did you go? She turns to me and shakes her head. No response. Are you cheating on me? I mean it as a joke, but her back goes rigid and the energy between us shifts. Nora smiles, but it's faker than a plastic doll's. I wasn't aware that I was in a position to be cheating on you. Now the tables have turned. She's nervous, I can sense it. There's something else, too. And I can suddenly feel a great pain inside her. I lean up and study her face. Would you like to be? Her lips shake and she opens her mouth, then closes it again. Guess not. Don't look at me like that, she mumbles. I'm thinking. You're always thinking. I ignore the probing ache in my chest at the idea that she could possibly want to be more with me. After a few moments of silence, her voice breaks the stillness. Small, unrecognizably so. I want nothing more than to be yours. I don't give her a chance to add anything more, to take anything back. I turn my face to hers and take her mouth to mine. My hands cup her cheeks, move down her neck, and I push my tongue through her lips. She groans into my lips, and I move in front of her, her thighs spread open for me, and I push my body between them, kissing her hard. I kiss her longer, harder, deeper. My mouth grows hungrier, my hands grow fierce, and my insides feel as if they are turning to liquid. I pull away to admire her face. My eyes take her in. Every centimeter of her face deserves to be admired. I could stare at her for 100 years and it would never be enough. I brush my hand over her hair and rest it at the juncture of her neck. She's watching me, her arms motionless at her sides. The corners of her mouth are upturned, but she's not quite smiling. I'm over her now, her face inches from mine. I lean in and brush my nose against hers. She closes her eyes tightly, and a small noise comes from the back of her throat. Are you still thinking? Only about one thing. She keeps a steady gaze, her eyes careful. And what's that? Instead of answering her, I lean into her and press my lips to hers. My hand fists in her long hair, and I move one arm under her back, lifting her to press her body against me. I can't seem to get close enough. The urge to hold her closer and closer is still an overpowering one. I don't remember ever feeling this way about a person, wanting to be close enough to become one. With one hand holding her neck still, I move my hand down to her bottom, softly caressing the soft flesh. Her moans fill my ears, my small bedroom, my apartment, my block, my city, my world. Her body was made for this. She was made for me. Her warm hand grabs hold of mine, and she guides it back to her front, between her thighs. Her black pants are tight, the fabric thin. When I touch her, I feel her wetness through the material. My God, this woman's going to kill me. Don't stop, Landon, please. Her words are a spark of flame to a forest of trees, and I'm no longer here in this room. I'm above it, watching from the sky, wondering how I got lucky enough to be with her like this. My fingers move to the waistline of her pants, and I unbutton them quickly. She lifts her back up to help me, and I make the mistake of looking at her. From her low-cut red silky shirt with her breasts swollen and nearly completely out of it, to her red panties, my heart is pounding through my ribcage, threatening to break free. I recognize the look in her eyes, and still can't believe that I'm worthy of her beautiful gaze on me. She's breathing hard, lips parted and staring. She raises a shaking finger to my face and traces the outline of my lips. I kiss her finger and she groans, still caressing my wet lips. I wrap my lips around the tip of her finger and gently bite down. Her hips lift off the bed. Landon, she breathes, my name as soft as ash. Nora. She guides me to enter her as she slides those damn red panties down her thighs. Do you have one? Have one what? One condom. Oh, duh. I'm sure I have one somewhere around here. Where would it be? If I were a condom, where would I be? Inside Nora, that's where. I'm on birth control. She looks uncertain. I climb off the bed and hurry to my dresser. Digging through the folded briefs and socks, I feel a plastic wrapper. Bingo. Bingo? Nora says with a youthful giggle. My stupid mouth never waits for my permission to speak. I don't try to defend myself, and instead just laugh with her and climb back between her legs. With steady hands, she helps me and once again guides me to her. I lean my face to hers and kiss her lips, her cheeks, her chin, even her closed eyes. She sighs and wraps her arms around my back, pulling me to enter her. Fuck, she feels like nothing I've ever before felt. Maybe she's just perfect for me. Her body, still and soft under me, is all curves and tan skin. I didn't take her shirt off, but I can see plenty of her breasts. She catches me looking at them and pulls the fabric down, cupping her breasts and pulling them out from her shirt. I bend my neck to pull one of her soft, dark nipples into my mouth. I gently nibble her, eliciting a sharp whimper. Her arms go behind my back again, urging me to her. Are you okay, Landon? I thrust into her slowly, reveling in the exquisite feel of her body taking mine. I nod and lift my mouth to hers. I keep moving slowly in and out, tenderly touching her, claiming her as mine. She kisses me until all I can feel is her heart pounding against my chest, her body flush with mine. Her legs grow stiff and she whispers, begging me not to stop. I don't until my body splits in two and falls onto hers in a fit of sighs and rising and falling chests. I roll off of her warm body and lie on the bed beside her. That was... I try to catch my breath. Perfect, Nora says for me. Chapter 18. Half of Nora's body is on top of me, lying across my chest. Her chin is resting just below my breastbone, and her fingers play in my chest hair. She swirls her index finger around, and I watch her in silence. The air conditioner hums in the background, and my mind is replaying the last few minutes over and over and over. Her cheeks are still tinted a blooming pink, and she looks refreshingly, painfully beautiful. She's taken her shirt off and is wearing nothing but those beautiful eyes, those pouty lips, and that dandelion tattoo on her shoulder. You know, I've never had a lover be so gentle with me, Nora says, her eyes not meeting mine. She stares at my chest, and her fingers continue to caress my skin. You know, I've never had anyone call me a lover, I want to say, but decide against it. Is that a good thing? I cringe, thinking of all the whips and chains and things people seem to be into nowadays. Am I too gentle? Dakota sure thinks so. Not that I want to think any more into that. Nora beams. Yes, a very good thing. Her voice changes to a whisper, even though we're alone. Though, she regards me thoughtfully, sometimes I want you to be rough. I'm surprised by the way her words make me feel, and also ecstatic that she wants to do this again. My body, though still recovering, aches to be inside her again. Just how rough is she talking here? I'm intrigued by the wide world of sex that I'm unfamiliar with, but I don't know if my mind can separate being rough from hurting her. I know there's this whole gray space between rough sex and plain old sex, but just where does her arrow rest on the spectrum? How rough? I ask. One of her hands moves over mine, and she guides it to her hair. Wrapping our fingers around a chunk of dark strands, she yanks on it. My cock throbs. Rough enough. She smiles delightfully and mischievously. She rubs herself against me. It's like her body is completely in tune with mine.
Does that sound like something you would like?